Chapter 26, Z for Zeal. Over the course of these chapters, we have considered many different aspects of discipleship and have hopefully been encouraged to implement some positive changes in our lives. But are we doing so enthusiastically or only half-heartedly? Are we feeling motivated or do we lack the drive to see things through? Are we zealous for good works? Titus 2 verse 14. Are we zealous for God? Acts 22 verse 3. Finding your cause. The dictionary definition of zeal is great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or an objective. We feel the greatest energy and enthusiasm for the things we most believe in, the causes that most resonate with us. So the first question is to ask ourselves, what is my greatest cause or objective in life? What am I really passionate about? Preaching the word? Studying God's word? Helping those in need? Developing a godly character? Manifesting God's purpose and values to the world? Teaching my children the way of the Lord, supporting my ecclesia, or something else entirely. Energy and enthusiasm are exhaustible resources, so we need to channel them in the right direction. If our greatest objective in life is to earn more money, to grow a successful business, to travel the world, or any number of other things which do not hold eternal weight, now is the time to consider carefully our priorities. We cannot be zealous for the things of this life and for the things of God. However, knowing your cause and pursuing it are two different things. We can have grand ideas and high ideals, but unless we turn these into actions, they are meaningless. Many times in Scripture, we read the phrase, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Example, 2 Kings 19, verse 31, Isaiah 9, verse 7. Zeal is an active characteristic. It gets things done. Creating an action plan. If zeal is made manifest in our actions, then it follows that we need to have an action plan. Consider the following questions in the context of ecclesial life and your own discipleship. 1. What are my core values and beliefs? 2. What really motivates and excites me? 3. Where do my strengths lie? 4. How could I really make a difference? 5. What, therefore, could be my main cause or objective right now? 6. What are my first steps? What do I need to do, and what do I need to stop doing? 7. What obstacles should I be prepared to face, and how will I overcome them? 8. How will I know if I've been successful? Do I have a clear vision or goal? Our answers to these questions will be as diverse as we are, and our determination and zeal will manifest itself in many different ways. Some of us will get actively involved in preaching, others in organizing fellowship events. Some will open their homes to their brothers and sisters, showing great hospitality and kindness. Still others will find joy in teaching Sunday school or in encouraging young people in their Bible study. Some will share their enthusiasm for God's word from the platform. Others will do so in conversation over a cup of tea. Yet because the source of our values and objectives is the same, the word of God, we shall work as one, united in purpose and strength, doing all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31. In the ideal ecclesia, every brother or sister will know how to play to their strengths, whilst being open to trying new things and to taking on new roles and responsibilities where there is a need. Each member will have clear sight of their shared values and spiritual objectives, and will encourage others to work heartily as to the Lord. Colossians 3 verse 23. Because they believe in their cause, can relate to it, and feel equipped to pursue it, every member of the ecclesia will undertake it with passion, energy, enthusiasm, and zeal. In such an ecclesia, no individual brother or sister will bear the burden of encouraging and enthusing the whole ecclesia. No one will feel duty-bound to muster the zeal of 10 men in order to make up for a lack of enthusiasm from other members. No one will feel under constant pressure to do everything, and resolutely to fit every mold. Everyone will have a purpose and will pursue it with zeal. Fostering the right environment. Realistically, however, we know that no one is able to remain enthusiastic and full of zeal all the time. A certain degree of apathy affects even the most enthusiastic of disciples from time to time, especially when we feel particularly overworked or underworked. So how can we make sure that our ecclesial environment is one which encourages everyone to increase in zeal for good works and for the word of God? Here are just a few of the obstacles we might face, along with some suggestions for positive change. The same few people do all the work, and others either feel their help is not needed or are happy to take a back seat. 1. The arranging brethren could ask each ecclesial member where they feel their strengths lie and what they would like to do to get involved, then create opportunities for them. 2. All members are encouraged to attend committee meetings so that they feel included, represented, and can share their ideas and expertise. 3. Those who are frequently busy within the ecclesia could delegate to those who do less, and not be afraid to ask for practical help from those who do not actively get involved. Perhaps they feel excluded, or that their help is not needed, or just need some encouragement. Cliques have formed. Some people feel excluded and are therefore less willing to get involved. 1. Create opportunities for fellowship. Always include a spiritual element on both a larger and smaller scale. Fellowship days versus inviting someone round for coffee. 2. If you have a task to do, teaching in Sunday school, billing for a special preaching effort, visiting someone in hospital, catering for a fraternal, speaking at a Bible school at home or abroad, ask someone you wouldn't normally ask to help or accompany you. Vision has dimmed. Enthusiasm for God's word has waned. 1. Organize a series of weekly or monthly study classes led by an enthusiastic and knowledgeable speaker with a communal meal afterwards where discussion is encouraged. 2. Start a home study class, book club, or reading group and be inclusive about whom you invite. Larger ecclesias could divide into small groups for study classes, making sure there is a good mix of backgrounds and ages. We all have a responsibility to keep our own flames burning and to help fan each other's flames when they are in danger of going out. How we do this is determined on a case-by-case basis, but the most important thing is that we keep on doing it. We must never assume that a brother or sister who appears to have lost all enthusiasm is a lost cause. After all, if you were in their position, you would surely hope that your brothers and sisters would work together to pull you out of the rut and help you to rediscover your passion for the things of God. By finding ways to involve everyone in the ecclesia, and by initiating open, honest, friendly, spiritual-driven, but unintimidating conversations, we can begin to foster a positive environment in which vision and zeal can grow. Zeal is infectious. The more we work on strengthening our vision and enthusiasm for God's word, the greater will be our ability to spread this enthusiasm. Loving good, hating evil. Being zealous is not just about showing zeal for what is good, but about zealously hating evil and turning from it. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Romans 12, verse 9. If our love for God is genuine, we shall hate what he hates and love what he loves. But is this truly the case for you and for me? Do we hate evil so much that we are prepared to go to extreme lengths to rid it from our midst? Or do we tolerate a certain amount of worldly influence within the ecclesia and within our own lives? Humanism and self-worship have become so normalized, but God hates these things. He hates it when we put our own needs before the needs of others, and allow pride and ego to take over, when we continually rank him second or third in our lives after ourselves, our friends, our work, and our precious free time, when tolerance and a desire to move with the times become more important than obedience to his unchanging word, and when we lower our standards or adjust our values to accommodate the world's ever-changing views. Have we become desensitized to the things God hates? Has the concept of hatred become so taboo in a society which tolerates almost anything that we are unwilling to hate what God hates? Are we prepared to take up God's cause and zealously hate what he hates and love what he loves? Our first century brothers and sisters faced this challenge. The brothers and sisters in Thyatira were zealous for good works, Revelation 2 verse 19. But were criticized by the Lord Jesus for their lack of zeal when it came to casting out the influences of sexual immorality and idolatry, verse 20. On the other hand, though commended for their zealous hatred of evil, verse 2, those in Ephesus had abandoned their first love, verse 4, and ceased from doing good works, verse 5. Meanwhile, those in Sardis enjoyed a great reputation from outsiders for good works, yet spiritually they were dead. Chapter 3, verse 1, and lukewarm Laodiceans, driven more by an appetite for financial gain, verse 17, than by a humble, genuine zeal for the things of God, their faith went only skin deep. The stark warnings given to these ecclesias are as relevant to us today as they were then. 1. No amount of good works will make up for a heart that is full of idolatry and immorality. 2. It is therefore not enough zealously to love good, we must also zealously hate evil and seek to rid it from our lives. 3. Yet hating what God hates profits little if this does not stir us up to do good works. 4. God is not fooled by false piety and an outward show of good works. True zeal comes from within. 5. Reputation, money, and hatred are not to be our motivation for good works, rather a genuine desire to do good, to love others, and to glorify God. 7. God asks for all or nothing, zeal or no zeal. fleeing from idolatry. Of course, it would be hypocritical of us to storm zealously into our respective ecclesial halls and demand that others renounce all ungodliness and idolatry. We know very little of what goes on inside the minds and hearts of our brothers and sisters, yet know only too well our own struggle with sin. The hard work begins with you and me. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Matthew 7, verse 5. We know that our God is a jealous God, zealous for his people. 1 Kings 19, verse 10, Psalm 78, verse 58. He will not tolerate the idols we store up in our hearts, and neither should we. He asks for our whole heart and mind, for all our energy, enthusiasm, and zeal. Nothing should come between us and God, not least our own pride and selfishness, whether it is a lifestyle choice, an addiction, a character trait, a career choice, or a hobby that seeks to draw us away from God. We must aggressively rid our lives of these things. We live in a tolerant society, but we must not apply this tolerance to our own sin, or indeed the sins of our brothers and sisters. When Jehu destroyed the house of Ahab and all the Baal worshippers, he didn't do so apologetically or timidly. "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord," was his faithful declaration, 2 Kings 10, verse 16. When Jesus made a whip of cords and drove the money changers from the temple, John 2, verse 15, he didn't go about it quietly and calmly. Zeal for God's house had consumed him, verse 17 and Psalm 69, verse 9. When God saw that there was no justice and that there was no one to intercede for his people, Isaiah 59, verses 15 and 16, he did not stand by and do nothing. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak, verse 17. How great is your zeal for the Lord? What is consuming you? The desire of the flesh or a desire to obey God? Are you ready to wrap yourself in a cloak of godly zeal and give yourself over wholly to the Lord your God? Whether we are pursuing the things God loves or ridding our lives of the things he hates, may we never be slothful in zeal, but rather be fervent in spirit. Romans 12, verse 11. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Questions and suggestions. 1. What are you really passionate about? In which area of your life do you show the most zeal? 2. What are your core values? What really drives you? 3. How could you use this passion, drive, and zeal to benefit God and the Ecclesia? 4. What obstacles are you facing, and how might they be overcome? 5. Do you love what God loves and hate what he hates? Is this evident in the way you live your life? 6. Is there anything in your life that is drawing you away from God? Are you prepared to get rid of it? 7. Are you ready to give God your all?